This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, the first feature in our new fossil fuel reporting collaboration with Rocky Mountain Community Radio partner stations. First, these headlines. On Tuesday afternoon, the Delta County Health Department reported that 4 residents have passed away from COVID-19, including a female age 35 to 44, a male age 75 to 84, and a male and female both 85 years or older. That brings the number of COVID deaths in Delta County to 7. Montrose County School District announced Tuesday that staff members at Olathe Middle High School and the Early Childhood Center have tested positive for COVID-19. A total of 16 staff members and 43 students are now in quarantine. Montrose High and Cottonwood Elementary have already transitioned to remote instruction through Thanksgiving weekend. Governor Jared Polis says the state has created a new level on its coronavirus restriction dial as a last resort to help several counties avoid stay-at-home orders. The so-called red phase that several counties are moving to will end indoor dining, alcohol sales after 8 p.m., and limit capacity at gyms.
We clearly need a more drastic shift in behavior to further slow the transmission of the virus and prevent this exponential growth curve from simply overwhelming our ability to take care of people who are sick.
The governor would not be specific, but about 10 to 15 counties are expected to adopt the new restrictions, which take effect Friday. He's also continuing to avoid issuing a new statewide stay-at-home order, in part because of the economic impact it would have. Governor Polis is expected to select his first state Supreme Court justice this week to replace Nathan Coates, who is retiring. According to press reports, Polis will choose from 3 finalists selected by a nonpartisan committee. They all have decades of experience practicing law in Colorado. Maria Birkencotter has served as a judge, while Andrea Wang and Timothy McDonald are longtime attorneys who have never been judges before. Now that the 15 counties served by the Colorado River District have voted for higher property taxes, an implementation plan looks to quickly put those dollars to work. Spokesman Jim Pokrant told the Grand Junction Sentinel, now that the tax passed, the district board will be discussing project spending and revising its 2021 budget at their December 3rd meeting. Town manager Corinne Ferguson announced Tuesday that Paonia Town Hall will be limiting open office hours due to rising COVID cases. Modified office hours are 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Monday and Wednesday, and 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. on Tuesday and Thursday only. Town Hall will not be open on Fridays. The office can be reached at 970-527-4101, and online payments can be made on the town's new website at townofpaonia.colorado.gov. KVNF is part of a new collaboration reporting on the impacts of fossil fuels coordinated by the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition. Today, we have our first in a series of 18 stories airing over the next 2 months. People and communities across the nation have found themselves the participants in a fracking experiment. In the small town of Pavilion, Wyoming, such a scenario has played out with a decade-long controversy. Robin Vincent from KHOL in Jackson spoke with a scientist whose landmark research in Pavilion connects the dots between fracking and its impacts.
Fracking, also known as hydraulic fracturing, involves drilling into the ground to extract oil or natural gas. The practice is controversial because of its potential impacts on public health and the environment. Specifically, it can poison drinking water. After years of research, scientist Dominic DiGiulio made this link. He found that people's groundwater can become contaminated under certain conditions. The pits that store fracking chemicals can be one such culprit. This was the case in Pavilion, Wyoming, a community of roughly 230 people. Back in 2008, residents began complaining their water had a foul taste and smell. So the EPA came in to investigate. Led by DiGiulio, the team's preliminary findings released 3 years later suggested fracking was to blame. But officials in Wyoming dismissed the findings as a political move. DiGiulio rejects that claim to this day.
When I worked with the EPA, I mean, there was no desire with myself and my coworkers to ban fracking. I mean, that was never the goal. We were simply conducting investigation on the impact of groundwater resources and the people's wells. So there was never any kind of goal to have any kind of political objective. Ours was simply technical objective to better understand the impact of hydraulic fracturing on public health and the environment.
But politics still found the scientists, and due to political pressure, EPA backed out of the study. DiGiulio, for his part, knew his work wasn't done.
You know, EPA was still in the process of conducting an investigation, and that investigation needed to be expanded.
DiGiulio retired from EPA in 2014 and went on to lead his own study. It was a massive effort, with DiGiulio parsing decades of records.
It took about 18 months to actually go through the data once more. So it was, you know, a very time intensive process. I mean, there's a lot of data there. So it was definitely lots of digging and going back to the beginning, you know, back to the 1960s and actually looking at every single record, you know, all the well completion records, all the records on cement bond logs for well integrity, all the water well records. We basically did a very comprehensive review of the records out there just to really get a much better understanding of, you know, what the problems were.
DiGiulio's research made the connection that he had started to draw in 2011 with EPA. Only this time, the investigation made his findings clearer. Recently, Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality released its final ruling from its own research on Pavilion. That research was funded in part by Encana, the oil and gas company that's fracking in Pavilion. It determined fracking wasn't to blame for residents' contaminated drinking water. And DiGiulio actually agrees with that assessment. But he says, really, it's a question of semantics.
Hydraulic fracturing started out at the Pavilion Field back in the 1960s. And so the flowback that came from hydraulic fracturing was disposed in pits. So it was basically diesel fuel-based fracking fluids that went into the pits. So it was petroleum-based fluids. So hydraulic fracturing itself did not, the actual process itself did not impact domestic water wells, but flowback from hydraulic fracturing was disposed into unlined pits, which then contaminated groundwater.
The saga in Pavilion, Wyoming is ongoing. Residents reportedly still can't drink their water and complain of health problems. DiGiulio says contained within this controversy are lessons for people living in the Mountain West.
In the Rocky Mountain West, there's fairly deep groundwater resources. So one of the conclusions that came out of that investigation was that, yes, deeper groundwater resources were impact, that these resources are important not only in Wyoming, but throughout the Rocky Mountain West. There's fairly deep groundwater resources that need to be protected. And that really wasn't done at the Pavilion facility. So in terms of groundwater use for the future, maybe with sustained droughts and climate change, is definitely a concern.
The second takeaway from his investigation, DiGiulio says, is that a lack of state regulations dating back several decades still has demonstrable impacts on people's lives now.
The state of Wyoming did not really regulate disposal of produced fluids and produced water into pits until about 1984. And there are literally thousands of production wells that were installed or completed in Wyoming prior to 1984. And so if you're a rancher or a landowner in Wyoming, I think you really need to watch out to see if those pits are on your property.
And if they are, DiGiulio says you should be paying attention to how close they're positioned to your domestic well. I'm Robin Vincent in Jackson, Wyoming.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.